It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights right back in the win column, 4-1 over the Minnesota Wild, 29-11-3, 61 points on the year. Embark on a road trip starting off Tuesday in Nashville, 5 o'clock puck drop, 4 o'clock pregame show. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, through the first 40 minutes or so of this game, it really did feel like with the chances Vegas was generating, it was just a matter of time before the offense exploded, and it sure did in that third period.
Yeah, you said it. It just felt like a matter of time. And, it, you know, as Bruce Cassidy pointed out after the game yesterday, sometimes you're just not getting the bounces. Like, you might be getting the chances, and, you know, you might get stuck with a loss or two, depending on how long that bad luck continues. Every team goes through it. How do you break out of it? Sometimes it takes a greasy one. Well, wouldn't you know, Keegan Kolesar gets a pretty greasy one on the rebound from Zach Whitecloud, goes right to the crease, and as we know, Ryan, good things happen when you crash the net. Also throw in the fact that the Knights got five power plays today, including the two in a row within 4 seconds of each other, an extended 5-on-3. It technically was a 5-on-4 goal. And by the way, it was just 2 seconds before both power plays ended, but it did go in for Pavel Dorofeev, and then he would get another one later on. So I think in terms of sort of breaking out the floodgates open, you know, Dorofeev was the guy. I said it to a friend of mine yesterday. It just feels like somebody, I don't know if it's going to be the power play, if it's going to be an individual, I don't know what, it just feels like something is about to break. I was a day off, and today was Dorofeev, and of course on the power play, there was an interesting adjustment there in the midst of that 5-on-3. No Jack Eichel today, so you knew William Karlsson would move up as a centerman there, but also the adjustment with Olofsson and Dorofeev, and obviously Pavel is the guy who cashes in.
And I do wonder how much of that is maybe Jack Eichel out of the lineup, because you've got some familiarity between Pavel Dorofeev and William Karlsson on that second unit. I do wonder if maybe that tweak is there because Jack is out of the lineup. But nonetheless, 2-for-5 on the power play for the Golden Knights, and they kill off both power play opportunities against that the Minnesota Wild had. And I liked their penalty kill because they didn't cede momentum in those two advantages.
Yeah, no doubt the special teams was due for a turnaround, as we mentioned. Coming into the day, it scored 3 power play goals in 11 games and allowed 5 in 5 games. So at some point there was going to be a swing. The team is, the units at both sides are too good. Nicholas Waugh's return certainly helps the penalty kill. And, sometimes just a fresh body, whether it was Karlsson or Dorofeev, it's a good question. I think Bruce Cassidy's going to be up at the podium in a moment, Ryan. But it's a good question. We'll ask him about it. And just sometimes, just throwing in a wrinkle will make a difference. So, yes, and now Bruce Cassidy's stepping to the podium, Ryan.
All right, let's go downstairs to hear from Bruce Cassidy.
The way the third periods went the last two nights, really good defensive effort. I think you gave up 2 shots last night, 3 tonight. But it seemed like you guys really earned the win tonight with the third period tonight. So could you just talk about how proud you are of the defensive effort and then earning that victory tonight?
Yeah, I think our defensive effort's been really good for a while now. I think we understand the value of that. We're playing to our identity that way. And just to sort of go on that is, like, offense can come and go, right? And you can have a full lineup, half a lineup, three-quarter, whatever. You just run into some teams that are chucking well, or the puck's not going your way, or goaltending. So you need that foundation, and I think that's what I'm proud of, is our defensive foundation hasn't wavered just because we're having a little... Now, we've won some of those games, but we're having a little... it's not going in as easily. So good for the guys. Defense usually leads to good offense. We know that. We've seen it. We've lived it. And you got to hang in there sometimes. The goals might come later. They might come early. It seemed like earlier in the year they're coming early. Now they're coming late. Thursday didn't come at all. So, like, you're going to go through different things. And Minnesota's a very good defensive team. The Rangers are fighting to get themselves back in it. And they go into, they played the game against Jersey. They played good D, so we knew they would be tighter. So that's where we're at right now. And we'll take that show on the road, hopefully, where we check well and stay with it kind of every period or shift after shift, the same mindset, and You always believe there's enough offense in the room. I believe that. Jack's kind of a late illness scratch, and we have lots of guys there can still bring it offensively. Stoney missed time. Carly at the start. Barbie's been out. He was our leading goal scorer till tonight, right? So there's enough. There's enough in there if we can check well.
What is it about this organization that they're able to develop guys who are able to step into roles like you have Brett Howden having a career year. Keegan Kolasar gets double digits for the first time tonight. Your leading goal scorer is a guy who's playing his first full season in the NHL. Why are you guys able to put guys in a position where they succeed in stepping into more prominent roles?
All coaching. Just seeing if everyone's paying attention. Ashley's not. She's on her phone. Listen, they've identified talent here from day one. Way ahead of the curve, right? The original selection process allowed them to be very good right away. So they've done it from day one. So that's George and Kelly and their staff have found players. I see the pro scouts sometimes when they're here. They're out there grinding every day looking for that player that they could be a good fit. You know, there's always conversations along the way. Where do you see your team going? At least when I've been here. Before that, I assume they have the same conversations. What do you feel you could use to whatever? And then the amateur guys, well, they're the glue, right? They're always out there. Now, some of those guys got traded over the years to add, but still you have to have a valued asset, like an Edstrom, say. He's a good pick. And Edstrom, I think I'm saying his name right, but it turns into hurdle for us and et cetera. So guys get moved so you can acquire these, you know, the talent. So at the end of the day, Calgary, they like Miromanov a lot. Now they got a pick too, but it turns into Hanif. So you have to have identified those guys first and then, you know, come up through the system, and then it's on to us, and we've got to do our part with them. And that's what's kind of happened. If you're talking about Howie and Coley, right, they were parts of other organizations. And most of them are just because of the way Vegas came into the league. But since then, Pav is not. He's homegrown. You take Hag and Whitecloud, they're homegrown. So there's enough of them here, and there'll be more and more as the organization, you know, gets on in years. But good for the amateur and the pro guys for identifying not only the talent, but are they a Golden Knight fit, right? Sometimes there's certain fits, and what's your identity? How do you want to play? And then finding those guys. So they've done a good job. I think the messaging's been good from the top and what they're looking for, and they've gone out. And when they've been able to do it, they've done it. And that's credit to the, you know, Krim, too, for going to get the deal done, right? It's not as easy. Looks, you don't just phone someone up and say, hey, you know what I mean? There's a lot of moving parts, I believe. I'm a coach, not a GM, but I've been around long enough to know that it's not that easy.
Go Danny, then Jack.
Hey, Bruce. Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. It looked like you switched Pavel with Olofsson going into the 5-on-3. What was the reasoning behind it? Obviously, it ended up working, but what was the reason you...
Gut instinct. Pav's a shooter. He's played that position when Olofsson was out. So to me, they're very interchangeable. So I just felt like, let's give Pav a shot. Our power play's been good, not great, and maybe some guys that were on it before that top unit would be a little hungrier, and they'll. I don't know. That's all it was, and he happened to finish. So good for him. He can finish, and I'm sure we'll toggle back and forth as we go along here. But right now, it worked out well for us.
Hey, Bruce. Jack Williams, Las Vegas Sun. You talked a little bit last night about guys trying to find their offense, and I think Pavel was one of the names that you mentioned there. With Jack out today, unavailable, you know, was there a little bit of a sense of, you know, with Pavel, this is an opportunity to fill kind of a gap a little bit more and, you know, really springboard your game?
Yeah, I mean, he can score, and he will. I've said it before, I think sometimes wingers can be streaky. Is the puck finding, is it not? They don't see it as much as maybe centermen or can't activate like D, so... At the end of the day, he's kept working, done a good job. The only message after the first period is, you know, we need some people now to be hungrier to score. I know everyone wants to score. It's not that they're professionals. Of course they want to score, but it dried up here a little bit at home. Let's not let it bleed into this whole game this afternoon. Let's put a little extra effort into it. It's January. It's a long year. There's only, you know what I mean? You push buttons, but at the end of the day, I just felt like Minnesota's in the same schedule as us. It's their fourth game in 6 days. They're missing players. Like, let's not let them off the hook. Let's force them to defend and make their goalie make saves and put our sort of, let's push a little harder. We're capable of it, and see where it leads us. And it led us to 2 points and 4 goals. So good. Good for the guys. Pav's one of those guys. I thought Hurdle really stepped up too as the game went on. That line was good. You know, they 5-on-5 and they did some good things in the power play.
Paul, Allen, Dom.
Hey, Bruce. Paul De Los Santos, NHL.com. How big was Keegan Kolesar's goal, given the way it was scored, given your offensive slump here in the past few games?
Good point. Good question. It was huge for us. We felt that when you're not scoring, sometimes you're trying to make an extra pass or whatever. You're hitting posts. And how about a greasy one, right? And couldn't have been any greasier. Keep a puck alive on one side, scrum it around. Zach makes a good skill play up top, but Keegan finds ice and gets it from the top of the crease. So good for Keegan, and that's the type of goal they're going to score. You know, especially with Nick and Howie or Pierce, whoever's over there, they're going to get those types of goals where you're hard to handle down low. That's the part of the ozone play that we need to keep harping on to get those goals, tips, deflection, second chances. I thought we did a better job against the Rangers as it went along, not good enough against the Islanders. So good. Let's take that on the road too, that mentality that we're going to get pucks to the net. You don't always need the extra pass, especially with big bodies. We are a big group of forwards, so make the other team defend you. And you know what? That might get us on the power play a little more, that mentality, because you start taking penalties in the scoring area, and that's something we need to do better. We've got to draw more penalties, find a way to do that, and that's certainly one way we can do it. And we should get rewarded with goals because we got skill guys that are big.
Alan. Bruce, a quick two-parter. Number one, how do you foresee using Hurdle? Because I think I just wonder if you can expand on your point today about the Hurdle line really asserting itself as the game went on, along with Dorofeev. Do you see that threesome being kept together? And the second part is, do you have any fun flurry stories just to kind of leave us with?
I don't have flurry stories because I was not here when he was there, so I've never coached him. The most fun story I can tell you is I ran into him in a bathroom in the airport. We were both taking care of business. That's it. And hey, how are you? It was probably the middle of July, and he was on his way to a wedding, I believe. So that's it. Sorry. As for the... What's that?
He didn't try any, like,
nothing. There was no gags. I don't think he probably thought about it. Says, well, you know, I don't really know this guy. I don't want the old toilet paper in the back pocket trick as you walk out, you know. You guys know that one by any chance? No, it's one of those old ones. Anyway, another time. The Hurdle line. Yeah, that came, you know, a little bit. Jack's out. What are we going to do in the middle of the ice? Hurdle's played left wing and center. Part of it is, now Thomas has been with us now, like playing in our system for a while, so maybe it is time he goes back into the middle, ask him to drive a line, see how his wingers fit. And we may be at that point. Nick Waugh comes back in, right? So there's a little bit, does that build our four lines to how we envision it coming out of training camp? So there's a little bit of the personnel that's available to us has driven Thomas, you know, to be moved around a bit. So, my guess is we'll go into Nashville and have to reevaluate because I don't think Jack is long-term. It's an illness. It's probably one of those quick ones that he'll be fine. I don't know that to be a fact, but my guess is he'll be back in, so we'll have to revisit it again. But I like what they did, so certainly not thinking about going away from it, but we'll see what we have.
Last one, Dom.
Hey, Bruce, in the back, Dominic Lavoie, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Going back to Keegan Kolesar for a moment, first time hitting 10 goals, Nick Waugh said he looked good in day one in camp. Just what have you seen from Keegan this year that's allowed him to produce the way he's been producing?
I think his pace is excellent, been excellent since day one. People don't give him enough credit for how good of a skater he is, so he can separate, get to the net, and get to the good ice. I think he's more confident handling pucks down low. You see much more puck possession, especially against man-to-man teams. I'll be able to hang on to it. He's been in an elevated role offensively simply because of, again, personnel injuries this year. So probably get more opportunities to see pucks off the rush for goal scoring opportunities as opposed to forechecking ones. So, and I just think again, we've talked about this. People leave. Guys look around the room. Hey, maybe there's an opportunity for me to grow my role. And he's done a great job with it. He still brought physicality, obviously toughness. You know, he fought one of the tougher guys in the league tonight, sort of, you know, because of that, the hit on probably their young player that didn't look great. I honestly think Keegan was trying to hold up a little bit, but, it, you know, anyway, he answered the bell. So there's still that part of the game he continues to bring. That's what you always worry about, right? A guy starts scoring, it's like, is he going to forget his roots a little bit and his identity and et cetera? So he hasn't. He knows he's a straight-line player. He knows he's physical. He knows he's a great teammate. We're building in penalty kill, and he's getting some offensive opportunity. Actually, almost got a shorty tonight, too, at Stoney's play there. So happy for Keegan. He's probably one of the most well-liked guy, well, they all are, but he's a very popular guy in the room, and so everyone's happy to see him have success.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-1 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Minnesota Wild. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
See the future of the VGK as the Henderson Silver Knights forge the night at Lee's Family Forum. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com for tickets. Today, it's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild 4-1. Vegas 29-11-3, 61 points on the year. Next in action, Tuesday in Nashville against the Predators. Vegas now 9-1-1 against the Central Division this season, and they are 2-0 against the Minnesota Wild. So pretty good there from the Golden Knights. Postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Nick Waugh comes back into the lineup after missing the last 11 games due to an injury, but Jack Eichel out of the lineup tonight due to an illness. Doesn't seem like it's anything long-term. Bruce Cassidy just mentioned that it's probably going to shuffle the lines a little bit more for the Golden Knights going into that game against Nashville. He doesn't expect Jack to be out long-term, just an illness, but something to keep an eye on as we move closer and closer to Tuesday night. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and the Wild opened the scoring just past midway point of the period as Ryan Hartman kept the puck on a 2-on-1 and beat Aiden Hill.
The dab is stripped by Ryan Hartman. Hartman at 2-on-1. He shoots, he scores! Hartman picks the pocket of Brayden McNabb and goes top right corner on Aiden Hill. Sixth goal in his 39th game. 1-0 Minnesota.
Sixth goal of the year for Ryan Hartman from Zach Bogosian at 12:09 of the first period, made it 1-0 Minnesota. We carry things over into the second period. Minnesota up 1-0. And early in the second period, the Golden Knights took advantage of a lengthy two-man advantage and tied the game on Pavel Dorofeev's power play goal.
Stone, got a walk in front. Now Dorofeev shooting. He scores!
Fifteenth goal of the year for Pavel Dorofeev from Mark Stone and Shea Theodore on the power play. 5:21 of the second period tied the game at one. So we'd head to the third period, and after a strong second, the Golden Knights continued to pressure the Wild, and early on in the period, Keegan Kolesar chipped in a rebound to give Vegas their first lead of the game.
Protecting it, dropped it back, White Cloud shot, save, rebound, they score!
Tenth goal of the year for Keegan Kolesar from Zach Whitecloud and Nick Waugh. 4:09 of the third period made it 2-1 Vegas. And later in the period, the Golden Knights forecheck dialed up the pressure, and Vegas extended their lead on Tomas Hertl's 12th goal of the year.
Out in front, the Knights score! Tomas Hertl gets a 3-1 Vegas lead. Hertl crashing the net, and Vegas has extended the advantage.
Tomas Hertl from Pavel Dorofeev and Shea Theodore, 15:40 of that third period, made it 3-1 Vegas. And the Golden Knights added the insurance marker late in the period on Pavel Dorofeev's second power play goal.
Now a 2-on-1 late developing. Dorothea scores!
Second goal of the game, 16th goal of the year for Pavel Dorofeev on the power play for Mark Stone and Tomas Hertl. 17:48 of the third period made it 4-1 Vegas, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Knights have the puck in their own zone. Dorofeev appropriately gets it to center. Final seconds come off the board. That is all she wrote.
Wild. 4-1 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild, get right back into the win column, halt their losing skid at just 2 games, improve to 29-11-3 for 61 points on the year. As mentioned, the Golden Knights are next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock puck drop, 4 o'clock pregame show in Nashville against the Predators. We're back with more in a moment, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Catch the next VGK game in a great setting with cast giveaways and more with the official watch party on Tuesday, January 14th at Public House at the Luxor. That's Tuesday when Vegas travels to Nashville. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild 4-1. Vegas improves to 29-11-3. 61 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock, against that Nashville Predators. That's the game for the watch party. And for the Golden Knights, you know, you look at this game, and it was essentially what we talked about with Derek Englund in the pregame show. I asked Derek what the key to the game was, and he said, just kind of have to stick with it. For the Golden Knights, you go back to the game against the Islanders. There weren't many chances. They didn't get to the inside. They weren't able to really test Ilya Sorokin. Then you fast forward to last night against the New York Rangers. There were chances. There were opportunities against Igor Shesterkin. It just didn't seem like the Golden Knights were able to make that last play, that final play, the play they needed to in order to put the puck in the back of the net. And so what you've got to do is you've got to recognize the good in your game and continue moving in the right direction. You cannot get discouraged. You cannot look at this scenario and say, okay, you're not scoring. You got to change things up. You just have to stick with the game plan. And I think what the Golden Knights did so well in this game is they stuck with their game plan. They were committed to putting pucks behind the defense of the Minnesota Wild. They were committed to utilizing a forecheck and really make life difficult on Minnesota, and they were committed to getting to the interior ice. And though it didn't pay off immediately, and it didn't pay off really through 40 minutes, even though they had more chances and better looks and carried play, going into the third period, the Golden Knights, they didn't waver. They didn't change their game plan. They continued to put pressure and lean on the Minnesota Wild. And the floodgates opened up in the third period. So for that, the Golden Knights continue to kind of lean into what they have done so well so far this season. They don't get discouraged. There's no panic in their game. And they work themselves out of scenarios where they just don't have it offensively to a point where they get it offensively again. And they certainly did tonight. Tomas Hertl, I thought, was phenomenal. Pavel Dorofeev, he's kind of the man of the hour. But the fact of the matter is, the Golden Knights answer the questions again, find 4 goals again. Their power play comes through for them again. Their penalty kill comes up with some excellent moments in this game. And Aiden Hill and the Golden Knights are back in the win column. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
The Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-1 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild. Improved to 29-11 and 361 points. Next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Nashville against the Predators. The Golden Knights still, to this point in the season, have not lost three games in a row in regulation. Pretty remarkable. And I know that there was growing concern last night for the Golden Knights and kind of the inability to put the puck in the back of the net. They put four on the board against Filip Gustavsson, one of the best goaltenders in the league so far this season. Concerns, worry can all go away for a little while. 702-876-1340 is the number. I'm after your player of the game tonight. Real simple question. I invite you to call in. If you were at the game, I want to hear from you. If you're watching at home, listening on the radio, I want to hear from you. I have my individual player of the game, my number one star, if you will, but I want to hear from a majority of you tonight on this program. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. If you call in, I'm putting you on the air. Player of the game, really simple. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, I'd sure be remiss if I didn't point out that one of our favorites is Pavel Dorofeev, and there's reasons for that. But he got his golden goal tonight. Number 16 gets number 16. So I'm excited for him. I'm not going to go anywhere else with the player of the game, even though I think you will. It was a great one to win and turn this thing around. And it's wonderful to hear people like Coach Cassidy, who is one of the best interviews, and you know how important that is to me in the game. And he just he diffused that question about what makes it possible for people that you don't normally hear about to excel, and he goes, coaching. And then he waits for the laugh, and he gets the laugh. But remember, you and I and Darren had a pretty good conversation about the organization and all those $60,000-a-year scouts that go out on the road and look for players. We really do have an outstanding bunch, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been on display from day one. And, you know, obviously you've got to be able to scout really well. You have to be able to identify talent really well in order to put a team on the ice in year one that goes all the way to the Stanley Cup final. But then to sustain that level of success, the level of success the Golden Knights have had in their history, you have to be able to continue to find new players at the amateur level, and you've got to be able to find players at the pro level that fit in and fit in well. And you know, I think if you look at this from an organizational point of view, the Golden Knights organization is really, really good at figuring out who out there is a Vegas Golden Knight. And it might not always be like the most obvious name out there. It might not be the name that kind of moves the needle on all the trade boards when you get to the deadline, all that. But this organization identifies who the next future Golden Knight is going to be, and that player more often than not fits in seamlessly.
Yeah, who in the world? I'm sure Tanner Pearson's agent called 31 teams before he got a taker. I mean, he had to have called a lot of different teams anyway. And that's the example that you're setting, that you're saying that has been set by the Knights. Also, one other thing, too, I know that Coach always rails about why don't we get more penalties. Mm-hmm. Well, it was painfully obvious to me when Olesov got knocked over practically. I mean, he got KO'd and he didn't lose his footing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it made me think, well, that's the reason we don't get more penalties. Guys stay on their feet.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. That's kind of been the talking point for a little while now. The Golden Knights have had certainly moments inside of games where clear infractions were left on the table because Golden Knights players stay on their edges. They're strong, they're big, they don't go down. And, you know, even in this game where they get five power plays, it probably could have been closer to seven based on some plays that were left uncalled.
Yeah. Well, we go on the road now, play three teams going in all sorts of wild and different directions, no pun intended, but It will be fun to see how all those teams stack up against the best team in the West, and I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. If you were at the game tonight, I'm talking to you. Pick up the phone, dial in the number, 702-876-1340. Give me your player of the game. Like, I'll even sit here. If you want to call in and say Marc-Andre Fleury, by all means, now's your opportunity, as Fleury likely came to T-Mobile Arena for the last time, at least in the regular season, in his career as player. Yeah, Mike's right. My player of the game is Tomas Hertl. And Hertl was a driver tonight. Hertl was all over the place. I thought he had the legs moving. He looked fantastic. And when you can kind of have your way in the offensive zone, when you can lean on defenders, when you can keep pucks alive, find a way to impact the game that way, I'm hard-pressed to go in a different direction. Like, I know Pavel scored the goals. Two power play goals. I'm not taking that away from Dorofeev. The fact that he is now in sole possession of the team lead in goal scoring is fantastic for him. I thought he was excellent. But I think that a lot of what went right for the Golden Knights and where that all stemmed from was Tomas Hertl being an absolute menace in the offensive zone with the puck on his stick. The forecheck pressure, the thought process, driving, shot attempts, shots on goal. He was an absolute handful for the Minnesota Wild to try to deal with. They couldn't do it. They couldn't stop him. And so he gets rewarded late in the game with a goal and an assist. And, I mean, the play that he makes on the wall to get the puck to Mark Stone to set up Pavel Dorofeev's second goal of the game, like, that is the play that makes the play happen. So I'm going with Tomas Hertl, but I want to hear from you. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. Who was your player of the game? Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Richard. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Yeah, at the game tonight, at the game last night, and at the game a couple nights before then.
Okay.
Well, it was great to see Fleury back on ice. But Keegan played a fantastic game. You know, he played great defense and great puck management. He flopped it into the goal to break whatever streak they were going on of not scoring. I got to give it to him tonight.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one, Richard, at all. I think Keegan Kolesar was excellent as well. And there's something to be said for getting Nick Waugh back into the lineup and going back to something familiar. Brett Howden, Nick Waugh, and Keegan Kolesar, like, those three guys together just seem to be able to move the needle. They play in the offensive zone, heavy forecheck, greasy goals, go to the front of the net, and, you know, Keegan gets rewarded with a goal. But in all facets of the game, sticking up for, you know, himself and the hit on Juracek, he fights Marcus Foligno. That gets some wind in the sails of the Golden Knights early in this game. I'm with you. I thought Keegan was excellent tonight.
He was. If he would have had an assist, he would have had a great little, what did they call it, a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Other than that, no, and you brought up a point, and a little fight. You know what? Defense, and he's out there. He's being rough and tough. He played good tonight. Got to give it to him.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Richard. Good stuff on the call there. 702-876-1340. Thanks so much for the call, Richard. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Scott. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Love your guys' show.
Appreciate it. Tonight, you hit on it for sure with Hurdle. Mm-hmm. He played stingy, and he definitely set up other players. But I think Shea Theodore really, he was real top shelf tonight. He owned his space. He kept the middle was contained. Everything got pushed outside. Mm-hmm. And when you've got people hurt and people sick and you don't have the numbers you want to run, it still was nice to get to see them get hungry, figure it out, and then actually start running. And, you know, at the end of the game, they came late, but they came. So my pick is Shea Theodore, Ryan.
Yeah, that's an excellent one. Probably an under-the-radar one from tonight because, you know, you're used to Shea having two or three points on a night where he played as well as he did tonight. But I'm with you. He moved his feet incredibly well, jumped into space. He did a really good job kind of being active on the blue lines to keep plays alive in the offensive zone. To your point, I thought Shea was excellent too.
Yeah, I like what Keegan did, and I like how he tried to step up. The fight could have gone a whole lot better for Keegan. Unfortunately, I like the way, again, when you have him willing to do that, it's nice to have other people who are willing to step up and get them back mm-hmm. in ways that cause us guilty minutes. But again, like with passing lane, getting a blade.
Thanks so much for the call, Scott. Looks like your phone dropped, but I'm with you in terms of giving Shea Theodore some credit in this one. I thought he was excellent as well. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Feeling better. I'll say, you know, a lot of people had good games tonight. Mm-hmm. I'll say Shea Theodore. Two assists. I thought he moved the puck around and kept the zone really well on special teams. Played a pretty solid, quiet game. You know, didn't fill up the box score, but two assists on two of those goals. So I liked his game tonight.
Anyone else stand out to you besides Shea?
Like I said, I mean, everyone. Like Keegan with the eventual game-winning goal.
Yeah.
Super impressed and respect the improvements he's made over the course of his career. I mean, this is by far his most impressive season as a professional hockey player. Mm-hmm. Dorofeyev, he really took over today. I did not even notice that Jack Eichel was not in the game until about the third period. That's didn't even notice it. And he, you know, when you're up 3-1, like the things you don't really think about that much. But everyone played pretty solid game. It was frustrating that they went eight periods and a few minutes before finally getting a 5-on-5 goal. Mm-hmm. Give a little credit to the teams we've played recently and their goaltending and their defense. But we got through the homestand. Looking forward to beating the Predators. I got to say one thing about the Predators. Mm-hmm. They're 4-5-1 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. And I think that's their best 10-game stretch of the season. They have 9 points in 10 games, and that's how bad they've been. That's how disappointing they've been as a team, spending all that money, and nothing is clicking for them. So I really hope we can get 2 points there.
All right, good stuff there, Sal. Just to your point, Golden Knights 9-1-1 against the Central Division. So this season they have done a really good job picking up points against the Western Conference as a whole, but specifically the Central Division. All right, let's go back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. Bring in Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you. On the drive home from the arena, it's nice to end the homestand on a good note. My player of the night, I'm sorry you got to him first, but I thought Hurdle was the man tonight. And mm-hmm. part of that is because this was a very different game that had a very different feel than the last two. One of the criticisms I had last night was how often our players will just puck watch while Jack Eichel dances into the zone. Mm-hmm. Without Eichel tonight, this was a game that we had a little trouble in the first period come through the neutral zone, and then we started to really grind. And yeah. you could see the grinding by this team, and it was Hurdle's line that was doing it. He dominated puck possession. He fought for the pucks. Kolesar was a close second on really gritting it out mm-hmm. on getting those pucks into the zone. But it showed that we can play a different style of game and still be very successful.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Chris, I'm right there with you, and thanks so much for the call. I thought Hurdle was excellent. As a driver, as a puck possession monster, he was a lot to handle. The Minnesota Wild didn't have an answer for him, and he really allowed the Golden Knights zone time and the ability to lean and lean and lean and eventually break Minnesota down, which is what the Golden Knights did in this game. My player of the game is Tomas Hertl, but we've got a couple of Shea Theodores. We've got a Pavel Dorofiev, Keegan Kolasar. Good marks to everybody around. 702-876-1340, that's the number. We're going to take more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. Player of the game, call in. I want to hear from you. Who was it? That's on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-1 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild. Vegas 29-11-3, 61 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Nashville against the Predators. Vegas right back into the win column. To this point in the season, they have not lost three games in a row in regulation. Pretty remarkable considering we are 43 games into the year for the Golden Knights. I asked the question, player of the game, who is it? Who do you like? Who did you think had a great game? Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Bob. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. My wife, Lucky, and I, just getting home from the game. Mm. I think the turning point of the game is when we were right down at the goal line, about 10 rows up, when Stone got slammed into the into the back. So it seemed like the whole team, from that point on, took like they got an inspiration that says, "You're going to beat her one of our players. We're going to show you what we got." Mm-hmm. And so I'm really thrilled with the reaction of the whole team in regards to that hit on Stone.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob. I thought that was a really good response. Now, it happened while the Golden Knights were killing a penalty. Matt Boldy crunched Mark Stone. Zach Whitecloud came over. He knocked over Boldy, but play continued. So you had to kind of get through that. Obviously, the tempers kind of ratcheted up a little bit in that spot. But Mark Stone, no worse for wear. He finished out the game, had a nice assist on Pavel Dorofiev's second power play goal. And you're right. I think that the temperature of the game went up. The Golden Knights decided that they were going to really take it to Minnesota down the stretch. And the Wild had nothing in the third period, just three shots on goal.
My wife and I can't thank you guys enough for all you do as well. I mean, the game comes and goes, but you are always there supporting the local team in a professional manner. And we're proud that we get an opportunity, if we're not at a game, listening to you and getting your feedback, as it's always valuable, and it gives us the insights that we really need as hockey fans.
Really appreciate that, Bob. Thank you so much for the compliment. Thanks for listening, and thank you for calling. I really do appreciate that. We'll take a break, come back with more on the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK extended postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild 4-1. Vegas improves to 29-11-3. 61 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Nashville against the Predators. I kind of talked about this. This was an exercise for the Golden Knights in sticking with the game plan, sticking with the program. This is a team that, of late, the last couple of games, offensively, they haven't been able to find that next play. They haven't been able to execute on their chances. And again, tonight, through the first 40 minutes, the Golden Knights created a lot of looks. Filip Gustavsson was really good, but no panic in the Golden Knights game. They just stuck with the game plan and continued to lean on the Minnesota Wild. They wore them down, and then they took advantage of their opportunities and buried three goals in that third period. And the Golden Knights put four on the board and feel good about their game going into a three-game road trip. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls and your input. Until Tuesday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.